chapter 16. We want to begin reading at verse 1. And Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your presence with us tonight. And we thank you that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We think of the Old Testament passage where the prophet asked you to open the eyes of the young man to see that the hills were ringed with the very forces of heaven. We thank you that you've put that in the book. And we thank you that we can claim the promise of your word, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And we thank you for your care. We thank you for your keeping. And we pray that you would help us tonight as we study your word together. We pray that it would be for your glory, and that your spirit would be our teacher. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, for a few minutes, and this is a message where we're just sort of cleaning up some things that we didn't have time to get to last week, or at least look at them together and not look at them separately. But we do want to come back and finish our studies of Eve and Sarah and their connection with each other. What brought us to these studies is what we find in Genesis chapter 23 and verse 1. And Sarah was 107 and 20 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah, and Sarah died. As we've noted, Sarah is the first woman in the Bible to have her death recorded, and her age at her death recorded. She's the first person, man or woman, whose burial is recorded here in the Word of God. And that aroused a question in my mind. Why is that? Why would Sarah's death be recorded? And so what you have been a part of, or my struggles, I guess, might be one way to describe it, to understand why she would be the one, why her death would be the one that's recorded. And the Spirit of God directed my thoughts toward Eve and to a connection that I believe exists between these two ladies. Last week we began at the end of the message to get down to some of the comparisons between them. And what we found in doing that is that not only were we looking at Eve and Sarah, but we were also looking at Adam and Abram, and it'll be somewhat that way tonight. In fact, the first thing that we looked at last week was a contrast between Adam and Abram. And the contrast was this: Adam shared with his wife Eve the words of God. Abram did not. At least there is no record that Abram told Sarai of God's promise, no record that he told her of the Lord's words in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 4, where the Lord told Abram that his steward was not his heir and was not going to be his heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels. And we saw that the word bowels not only refers to Abram's organs of procreation, but to Sarah's as well. That word bowels also means womb. And so the message from the Lord is very clear. Abram and Sarai were going to have a son. And yet there's no mention, there's nothing in the record of Abram telling his wife of the Lord's words. The first contrast then between Adam and Abram involved the Word of God. And the first comparison, interestingly enough, the first similarity between Eve and Sarai involved the Word of God. Eve changed the Word of God and was deceived. Sarah ignores the Word of God and was deceived. And the Word of God that Sarah ignored is the Word that the Lord Jesus spoke at the very first marriage in all of history. The Lord Jesus made them at the beginning male and female. You know, you can't read that without stopping and thinking about this world that we're living in. I was reading that there are moves in places, not only in this country, but in Canada, to do away with the terms boys and girls. Now, I don't know how you could be a school teacher and not use the terms boys and girls. But there are school districts where they're telling their teachers you can't use those terms. There are places that don't want to use the words male and female, that don't want to use the word husband and wife. This is in total rebellion against what the Lord established at the beginning. The Lord Jesus made them at the beginning male and female and said, "For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." Sarah ignored that. She put her husband asunder. She's separating and dividing herself from her husband by her disobedience to the Word of God. By bringing in, by taking Hagar and saying, you need to marry her, Abram. That's exactly what Eve did. She was separated from Adam by her disobedience to the Word of God. And we noted last week the reason that Sarai gives here to justify herself in verse 2. She said, "Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing." Sarai is telling her husband that the Lord is withholding something from her. He's keeping back something from her that she wants, that she ought to have. That's the very suggestion. It's the very line of thinking that the serpent deceived Eve with. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 5, the serpent said, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." The message of the serpent to Eve is that God is depriving you. He's keeping back from you something that you ought to have, something that you deserve. And the implication of the serpent's words is that God doesn't love you, Eve. And so you can't trust him. You can't have confidence in him, because if he loved you, why would he prohibit you from enjoying this fruit? The line of reasoning is the same in Sarai's mind. But someone says, "Well, there's no mention of the serpent here, folks. He doesn't have to be here. He doesn't have to be here. We have a nature that's just like his. A heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. A nature that is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And by nature, we believe that God is depriving us. He's keeping back something from us that we ought to have, something that we deserve. And so our mind reasons that God doesn't love us. He wouldn't hold back from us. He wouldn't keep things from us if he loved us. We can't trust him, therefore. We can't have confidence in his word, because if he loved us, he would not prohibit us from having this thing that we so desire. In Eve's case, it was the fruit of the tree. In Sarai's case, it was the fruit of the womb. In both cases, the attitude of heart is the same. The reply that Eve should have given to the serpent, the reply that Sarai should have given to her own heart is this: I have confidence in the goodness of God. And it's impossible that he would withhold anything from me that is good. whether it's the fruit of a tree or the fruit of the womb. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. But instead, Eve and Sarai leave the place of dependence. They leave the place of obedience with disastrous results. Sarai says to Abram in verse 2, "The Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her." Look at verse 3. "And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife." There's a similarity in those words and the words that we read in Genesis 3:6. "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her." Just as Eve took of the forbidden fruit and gave to her husband, Sarai took of the forbidden fruit. This woman Hagar, and gave her to her husband. Just as Eve took of the fruit and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And this, as we noted last week, brings us to another similarity between Adam and Abram. The last four words of Genesis 3:6 tell us concerning Adam, "And he did eat." And he did eat. He partook of the fruit. He partook of the forbidden fruit. The opening words of verse 4 here tell us concerning Abram, "And he went in unto her." Both Adam and Abram partook of that which was forbidden by God. Now there's another similarity between these two men. Notice the last words of verse 2. "And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai." Now keep your place here and turn back to Genesis chapter 3, if you will. Genesis chapter 3. There's something that we want to see. And something I had never noticed before. And it's a mystery, but at least we can see the mystery. Look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17. The Lord is talking here to Adam. And he said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life." This verse gives us some additional information about verse 6. Verse 6, "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." There's no mention in verse 6 that Eve spoke a word. No mention of it. But she did. What she said, we aren't told. But the clear wording of verse 17 is that Eve spoke. She said something to Adam. So we have a mystery revealed, but no solving of it. We can ask the Lord when we get to glory. We can ask Eve, "What'd you say to Adam? What was it that you said?" The point is that whatever it was she said, Adam hearkened unto the voice of his wife, just exactly as Abram did in Genesis chapter 16 and verse 2. Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Now I want you to think about something. Adam hearkened to the voice of his wife with unimaginable spiritual consequences. Consequences that are affecting us today. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Adam hearkened to the voice of his wife, and all men through his disobedience were made sinners. That corrupt and sinful nature was passed to all men. From the moment that Adam hearkened unto the voice of his wife and ate of the tree, from that moment, every person who has come into the world is shapen in iniquity. And in sin did our mothers conceive us. Death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. A consequence of what we have here in verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 16, if you will. And let's look at verse 2. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Adam hearkened to the voice of his wife with great spiritual consequences. Abram hearkened to the voice of his wife with great physical consequences, I guess would be the right word. Consequences that are affecting us today. Look at verse 11. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, the angel of the Lord is talking, he's talking to Hagar. Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Ishmael is the father of the Arab race. The descendants of the Arabs, what came out of the Arab nations are the Muslims. And from those descendants comes the religion of Islam. The religion whose name means submission. The religion whose goal is to bring the entire world into submission. Either through submission, through subjugation, or, if necessary, through death. We're watching in this country the consequences of Abram hearkening to his wife. Five people were shot and killed in Washington or Oregon, Washington, I think. Washington State. And my understanding is the man is a Turkish Arab Muslim. He's a Muslim. And you can just go down the list. We did that a couple of weeks ago of the attacks that are taking place in this country. We don't stop to think about the consequences of words like Adam hearkened to the voice of his wife. Words like Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And so here are these two husbands, Adam and Abram, and these two wives, Eve and Sarah. And there are these connections between them. And in these connections is the answer, I think, to, I started to say our question, but my question. I've foisted this question on you. Why is Sarah the first woman in the Bible to have her death recorded? The first person, man or woman, to have her burial recorded. I believe that the answer is that the first person in all of history to die was a woman. The first person to die in all of history was a woman. That was Eve. She died spiritually. She died the moment that she ate of the fruit that God had told them not to eat of. And then we come down to Sarah, the first woman to have her physical death recorded. And I believe it's like that because the wages of sin is death. And in these two women who are connected in their actions, we see the two kinds of death. In Eve, we see spiritual death, separated from God, separated from Him by our sin and iniquity. And in Sarah, we see the consequences of our sin, the consequences of our rebellion, physical death. That's what we see in these two women as wives. But in these two women as mothers, in these two women as mothers, we see something that is quite glorious. The name Eve means the mother of all living. You know, she might have been called the mother of all dying. But through faith, Adam gave her the name Eve, the mother of all living, because through the seed of the woman, the Lord Jesus Christ was going to come, the Lamb of God, who would shed His blood on the cross of Calvary. Sarah, as a mother, was going to give birth to Isaac, a child whose birth was impossible. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. It had ceased to be with Abram after the manner of men. Isaac's birth was impossible. His birth was miraculous and was a prophecy of the coming miraculous birth, the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaac is the one who his father would take to Mount Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering, as a prophecy of the time when on the same Mount Moriah, God the Father would provide Himself a lamb in the person of His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And on the cross of Calvary, God would lay on the Lord Jesus Christ the iniquity of us all. Isn't that what Sarah's words here are pointing to? In verse 5, "And Sarah said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee." That's the message of the cross of Calvary. Our wrong was upon Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. "My wrong be upon thee." And it was. When the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman, the seed of Abraham, there's the ultimate connection between these two mothers. The seed of the woman, the seed of Abraham, the seed not of many but of one, which is Christ. And He would conquer death. Spiritual death. Our iniquities have separated between us and God. The Lord Jesus Christ stood in that gap. He took that separation because He took our sin and our iniquity upon Himself on the cross, that He might bring us to God, that we might have life, His life. But He also conquered physical death. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" We have victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. "I'm the resurrection and the life," He said. "He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die." The seed of the woman, Eve. The seed of Abraham. Through Sarah, there's the ultimate connection. The seed, the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Do you know Him tonight? Have you come to the cross and seen your wrong upon Him? Have you seen Him bearing your sin in His own body on the tree? Have you seen Him dying in your place? That's why the Lord brings you to these services if you're lost, to hear the message, to hear the good news of the gospel, to the end that you might surrender your heart to Him, turn to Him from your sin, and trust Him to be your Savior. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we pray that you would take your word tonight and use it in our hearts. What an amazing book this is. We thank you for the treasures of your word. We pray that you would give us a desire to come to the treasure room of this book and allow you to take us and lead us and show us the wonders of your word. The wonders of your word that point in one direction to the cross of Calvary, where the Lord Jesus Christ took our sin upon himself and shed his blood that we might have life, that we might be washed from our sin in his own blood, cleansed and clothed with the very righteousness of God. We thank you for that glorious gospel message tonight, and we pray that it would ever go forth from this place without compromise, without apology. We pray that you would bless this church. We pray your blessings upon the school again as we begin a new week tomorrow. We pray that you would bless the children who come, for the families that are represented. We thank you for the way that this school reaches into so many homes, and that the testimony of even some here is that they're here because they heard the gospel as a result of their children being in Calvary Christian School. Father, we thank you for what you've done here and what you're doing. And we just give you the praise and the thanks. And help us to be faithful till you come. And we ask it in Jesus' name.